Welcome to Sex with Simmery. Frank, occasionally explicit edutainment on the most important topic of all. Sex with Simmery is not intended for children and is not safe for work unless your boss is particularly awesome. See more at sexwithsimmery.com.
Welcome to Sex with Simmery. This is Dr. Simmery. I am super excited to talk to today's guest. We are so lucky to have her. This is going to be a lot of fun. She is possibly the most beautiful woman in the world. People magazine would have named her that if she were just a few months older than Sandra Bullock is where we're right now. So I'm super excited to introduce to you Air Force Amy. How are you doing?
I'm great. I'm so happy that Sandra Bullock got named the most beautiful woman in the world. It gives me a shot. That gives me hope. I'm going to be 50 in August, so that really gives me hope. Everything's going to be okay.
Everything's going to be okay. That's a really interesting thing for us to celebrate. I mean, was there fear that you had? You were like afraid that like your possibility of being seen as sexy was going to go down?
Well, I know it has. I mean, my sexuality and my sex appeal hasn't. But when you're in such a cut and dry business as I am, when you see guys come in, there's a lineup of 20 girls, and they're choosing the teenagers. And I get it. I understand it. They're young. They're soft. They're beautiful. Their skin is tight and I get it. So as far as that goes, I see on a daily basis, well, not really, because I don't really go in for lineups anymore. I've learned that's what I've learned with maturity. If you can't win the game, stay home, but I've developed a clientele over the years, and where I win is with customer service and repeat clients and just developing the client base that I have and keeping the client base that I have. So I'm lucky if I pick up one new client a month.
So for those who...
I might see three or four clients a month and then pick up maybe one new good one that becomes a regular. So that keeps me... I'm the top earner.
So just to clarify, we are really excited to have you because I think a lot of people are going to be really excited to hear from you. But for anybody who is listening who isn't already familiar with what you're talking about and what it is you do, would you enlighten the nice folks?
Yes, this is Air Force Amy from the world famous Bunny Ranch, home of Cat House, the series. We've been on HBO for 10 years now. And they still run the reruns at night at 11 o'clock at night, late night. And so you can really get an inside view of what goes on. And I work at the Bunny Ranch. There are about, maybe a dozen or so legal brothels in Nevada. Now, the legal brothels in Nevada, the brothels are only legal in certain counties. In almost all counties except the two largest ones, Clark County and Washoe County. Clark, which holds Las Vegas, and Washoe, which holds Reno. So the two largest cities in the state, prostitution is not legal. If it were legal in those counties, it would still have to take place inside a legal brothel, and the girls would have to be licensed and tested, and we conform to health department rules and county ordinances. So it is not legal in Las Vegas or Reno, and in any other county where there is not a licensed legal brothel. So Dennis Hoff owns 5 legal brothels, I think, and he's bought up like 3 more. We have the Bunny Ranch near Carson City, Nevada. It's 5 miles east of Carson City in Mound House. And down the street, across the street, there's a little cul-de-sac of 3 brothels. And he owns all 3 of those now, and they're calling that the Red Light District. We just changed the last Madam Cousin's Red Light District. And we have the Kit Kat Ranch, the Love Ranch North, which was his second property that he purchased, and that was maybe 10 or 15 years ago. Then he purchased the Love Ranch South and Alien Cat House, and those two are located an hour and a half outside of Vegas in Pahrump,
in the city of Corump in my county. And those girls, they have to stay on property. They can't go on out dates. So if you were to go visit one of those ladies, you'd have to visit her in the house.
So at your facilities, you don't have to do that?
No. And the northern northern brothels, which we have the Bunny Ranch, and then in the cul-de-sac, we have the Kit Kat Ranch, the Sagebrush Ranch, the Love Ranch North, and we also have a little strip club called Madame Suzette's Cabaret, Red Light Cabaret. Oh my gosh. So we have four brothels right here. And it's gotten pretty tough, I'll tell you what. Those brothels closed down for a reason, done it. You know, and he bought them. And you can go to bunnyranch.com, and we have a message board, and all the girls from all of his brothels are competing for the same business, the same guy on the same board. So it's gotten pretty tricky. It was tough to begin with to get. The hardest part of my job is to get a gentleman, because I do an online off-site business now. We used to do a walk-in business. We used to do a lot of volume before the internet came up. I remember 15 years ago at the Bunny Ranch, the bar would be 4 feet deep with customers at any given hour of the day. But the bar was smaller, too. So now we do mostly, I do anyhow, an online off-site business. And my biggest obstacle challenge is to get a gentleman from point A to point B, create urgency, and not tell him the prices. We're not allowed to give prices.
Oh, that's interesting.
Over the internet.
Why are you not allowed to give prices?
The truth of the matter is that if I tell a gentleman that it's $1,000 for A, B, and C, he's going to shop around until he gets a girl to tell him that it's $200 for A, B, and C.
Mm.
My little industry secret is that, it's against the law to give prices over state lines. We're only allowed to give prices within the brothel, inside a licensed legal brothel, inside my room, which is considered my office. And that may be true in some counties with their ordinances. We're not allowed to give prices in the parlor. We can only give prices in our room.
That's really interesting. Do you prefer it that way?
Kind of, because you know what? It doesn't back me up against the wall with a single price of what I'm going to do. If a gentleman comes in, there's so many variables. You know, he could be the nicest guy on earth, and I'm a pushover, and I'm a pushover for just a night. I love people, and if it weren't for the ranch, I'm a ball for every hard luck story, and everyone's got one. Like, they don't want to spend this amount of money or why they're there, and my heart just bleeds for them, and I really become attached for that at that moment. I'm single and pretty much a loner. I mean, I've been at home on my computer all day, and I'm just like everyone else out there that is becoming socially challenged, because we're all engulfed with social media and work and life and everything else. So I get my love and companionship and I just went blank.
But you're getting like your human social needs met at work?
Yeah.
That's actually really nice. Very few people can say that.
Yeah. And the great thing about it is the gentleman will come in. They're always happy to see me. They give me money. We have a really fun time. And they pick up their clothes and take them with them. I clean up after them, but not like on a daily basis. So it's really nice. They have long-distance relationships because we're always happy to see each other. And have so many different personalities with each gentleman. And so it's really exciting. And my challenge right now is how to transition out of the business, which is going to have to happen.
Why is that?
Put my head in the sand.
Why does it have to happen?
I'm going to be 50, and I look great. I feel great. I can run circles around any 20-year-old. But it's just going to have to happen. You can't be 60 during this, I don't think.
I'm curious if
happen.
Like, because certainly people do. I mean, there's like what comes to mind immediately is the Meet the Fockins, the adorable little documentary about the twin sex workers in Amsterdam, and they're in their 70s, 80s?
The 80s. Yeah. So didn't they retire? But yeah, I can see it happening. And I mean, it's not totally out of the question. It's just my own thing. I'm trying to expand and go more towards writing books and giving seminars. You may have noticed on my website or on my LinkedIn that I've been taking a lot of classes. I got my certificate in clinical sexology, an associate's degree in sex education. I'm working on my master's in human sexuality. I'll have that finished before this. I have to finish that by the end of this semester. And I'll be working on a doctorate. And what I'd like to do is give, I'm sure you're familiar with the term sexual addict, SDAR, seminar, sexual attitude restructuring. But I see another sexual revolution coming up. I see everyone becoming more in tune with sexual freedom and not being so hung up on the things we pick up in childhood or even in adulthood, and we're exploring our own sexuality, and it's okay to do so. I think that AIDS scare is kind of a little bit behind us now.
That's
It's popping up again now that all these kids are shooting up opiates. You know, it's on the rise again, but I think people my age, I don't know, I can't put an age on it. But, and that's another age, let's talk age, ageism. And I'd like to, I know that I had just spoken and said that, I've got to retire at some time. I'm 50, you can't do it at 60. But you know what, maybe I can. Maybe we're going to break that glass ceiling.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, like, I'm totally down with all the other stuff you said you're going into. That sounds great, too. And obviously, I'm a huge supporter of all those things, because those are also the things that I'm doing. But yeah, I mean, there's something really inspiring about the idea of somebody being like, you know what, fuck you, I'm going to keep doing this forever, because there's nothing about my age that has anything to do with, like, diminishment of my sexuality. Like, people are sexual from the beginning, they are sexual forever, and there's nothing about age that makes it not possible to keep fucking.
I feel like I'm still number one. I still feel like I'm the best in the industry. I still feel like, I mean, after 25 years in the legal brothels last month, March. And I look around at who I'm working with, and I'm sorry to say there's no one can light a candle to me. No one. We were so, like in the 80s, in the 90s, we were so wild and so crazy and so free and did so many just nutso things, and there was no inhibition whatsoever. And it just doesn't seem like it's that way with these younger girls now.
So
yeah, I think something about social media and everybody wants to be their own star. They have to have likes and they have to have this. And there's this kind of narcissism going on. And I'm not like that. I'm really humble. I'm down to earth. I shoot from the hip. I'm a guy's guy, you know, a guy's girl. And there's just something different about me. I'm like the Michael Jordan of the sex industry.
I want to know more about that. You know? What is it that separates you? What is it that you offer that is categorically different and qualitatively better?
Number one, I have 100% control at every single solitary muscle in my body. I can twitch or move or squeeze or push any single muscle of my body at any given time.
That's impressive.
I have no gag reflex.
Oh.
Okay. And I'm really flexible.
All right.
And yes. And I'm intuitive. I'm in tune. I can relate to people at all levels. I can relate to an alcoholic on his last binge to Bill Gates. I can relate to all levels, and I can be in them intuitive to your needs and to possibly, you know, with what might, I just make everything go right and smooth and have fun, and I have a sense of humor, and it's hilarious and fun. There's no hang-ups, and it's not serious, and there's no drama. It's just fun. And it makes you feel like $1 million, like the most important person on the planet. You are 100% total attention to you, and I allow you to give me the attention that lets the gentleman feel as though he's performing at 100%. He's performing and he's pleasing me. A lot of women forget that. Most guys, as they get older, that's what they think. Their self-talk tells them that's what they can only do any longer, is please a woman. So it's very important for a man to please a woman. I'm easily pleased. You just puff of air on me and I've orgasmed.
So a lot of sexuality is obviously like mental, and people can put up like barriers to being really present during it, and they have whatever trauma and whatever hangups they have. So if somebody comes to you and they've got some sort of barrier up, they've got some sort of like mental game that's in the way, how do you break through that?
Usually with laughter and validation and similarities. Showing the person, oh, I've experienced that same thing. I know exactly what you're talking about. Here, let's try this. And usually, even if I have an experience, I've been with somebody else that has had that same mental attitude or physical supposed obstacle. And I'm 25 years. I'm come across this condition before. The condition of the condition you are in. So we can work through it. The most difficult cases I would have would be, say, a woman that's anorgasmic and I just absolutely could not help her. I would refer, by the end of the session, before I even started going to school, I would say, you know what, I think you might need to try hypnotism. And now, lo and behold, I'm taking sexual hypnotherapy. I'll be a hypnotherapist here in a couple months.
Oh, interesting. What does that entail?
That's just breaking through the negative, mostly breaking through the negative self-talk. I myself have been involved or employed hypnotherapy in my life, and I just love it. No, all it really is having someone to talk to you and put you in just a very relaxed state of mind, just so you just, it's a form of meditation. I'm such a type A personality, I can't sit still and meditate. I meditate on the elliptical, you know?
I'm very familiar with this idea, yes.
I'm not sitting still and meditating, are you kidding?
there's definitely something to that, yeah.
Yeah. I think there's so much stuff on the elliptical, you know. But someone that knows what your goals are, that knows what you want to accomplish, and it's all client-based, which is the client wants to accomplish. It's not a therapy session where I'm placing any type of rules or the only hypnotic thoughts I'm helping to place in the person would be something that they want to do and something they want to accomplish. So, for example, after I have someone in a nice hypnotic state, in the relaxed, and I would ask them to imagine how would that orgasm feel? Feel it. Be present with it. What does it smell like? What does it feel like? See their smile on your face. You make it sound. And imagine every little detail of that orgasm. And after practicing that and listening to that, and take the tape home with them and listen to it, and there's a lot of other things involved with it too, and they start to experience these orgasms.
That's awesome.
Or any other type of sexual or personal type of, it's subconscious work, and it works. And we are what we believe. We manifest what we think.
So what would you say to like just an average person in terms of their sexual lives? What sort of takeaways can they use from like the things that you have learned in your years?
Don't take it so seriously. Have fun with it. Laugh. Make mistakes. We're human. I don't know what just came to mind right now. Because you're gaseous and you have, you're flatulent and you have a fart. It's okay. I mean, doesn't shut everything down. Or if you don't orgasm, that's okay. You know what? We have time. We can do it again. It doesn't have to be today. Did it feel good? Did touching with me feel good? Did just holding someone, just being near someone, doesn't that just feel good? It's not so performance rated. It doesn't have to be a performance.
That's beautiful.
And never say no. If you're in a relationship, just never say no, because you know what? Once you get started, it's going to feel good anyhow. Come on.
That's an interesting point. Like, there was a Dr. Staten from my program, the way he put it, like the analogy he gave was like, it's kind of like when someone's like, are you hungry for dinner? And you're like, not really. But then they bring out some food. And then all of a sudden you're like, yeah, I could totally eat.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, I actually really do want that.
Right? And communication. And women are so afraid, I think. Women too, are so afraid to tell, take kissing, for example. Have you ever told anyone they were not such a great kisser? No, you just stopped kissing them. So for most people. So make suggestions to your partner. I like it like this. When you do this, it feels really great to me. When you kiss me, when there's less saliva, it feels a lot better to me. I get drowned. I feel drowned when you use too much saliva. If you could just do your tongue this way and show them what you like. And that works. It's a two-way street. And if you can do that, a little bit of research. I mean, look into some tantric sex. Look into trying a different position once a month. Try, keep it interesting. Be involved. Be interested in it. It feels good. It's natural. It's free. And it feels good. Let's do it.
Yay! So that's a, like,
it's
that's
free
a,
for most people, not for me.
Yeah. Fair enough. So speaking of getting people in the mood, getting people excited, you can't advertise in Nevada, right?
We can't.
What is that about?
Well, that's the county or in a state ordinance and county ordinance or a state regulation and a county ordinance that the brothels, they can only have a certain size. Not even a billboard, but signage. And we're not allowed to advertise in the yellow pages and newspapers and such. But we've all got around it by opening things such as a strip club or a bar or a restaurant. But my boss, Dennis Hoff, he's a spin doctor at a PT Barnum and Bailey of brothels. He brought it to America. We used to be just a hidden stepchild in Nevada. We were here and we were tolerated. We've been here since the 1800s, and it kind of just let us, slide on through. But back then, 25 years ago, these houses were like white slavery. They were we were pretty much, I'm going to say trafficked because, well, yeah, we were trafficked. We worked 24 hours a day. We got up for bells at 24 hours a day. They kept us locked down for six weeks at a time. They kept our money. They had a ridiculous, crazy rule that, and if you didn't like it, there was no complaint system. There was no one to complain to. You just, they were like, well, don't work there. Well, a woman in my case, when she started out as a case of necessity, survival sex, and then went into the brothels and I kind of just kind of liked it, too. Anyhow, so 25 years ago, and still in some of the brothels today, it's very, very, very oppressive. And no one, and the public was not allowed in the doors. And women were not allowed in. Definitely no cameras. Definitely no press. And Dennis Hoff got a hold of one of these places, and he opened it up to the press and to he opened the Bunny Ranch up to the press, to radio, to film, to HBO, to television shows. We were being carted off to every television talk show and got the name out there and really branded us, but also invited America into the brothel with the HBO Cat House series. And we've become a household name. I mean, we were mentioned on Jimmy Fallon the other night. We've been on, I think, our latest spin is Hookers for Hillary. And, oh, the press loves that they're eating it up. We have a website called Hookers for Hillary, where you can actually make a donation. And we're going to run with this. We're running with it hard. I'm doing some more filming tomorrow, an update on Hookers for Hillary. And we can run with this the rest of the year, so, you know, throughout the election. And we're just thinking, Dennis and I, we just have these crazy, we just love marketing. We love having fun with it. And we get, if you go to TMZ and look up Hookers for Hillary from the Whore House to the White House, we have over 1,000 comments within 24 hours on that piece.
So what inspired that? Like, are you actually like a fan of her, or is it just like, oh, that's alliterative?
I'm actually not a fan of Hillary at all in any way, form, or fashion.
That's funny.
It's promotion, it's publicity. And I'll make a disclaimer when I'm making comments on, I think we have at least 900 news articles. And there has to be 50 to 100 TV clips within the last week.
Wow.
And I'll make disclaimers. I'll go and make comments on all the all the links. And if somebody really gets into, you know, really, because we really don't want to talk politics or religion. If you are you looking for a client base, you want to be very politically political. You know, you don't want to sway one way or the other. And give political answers. And what I say is, you know, and I think that the presidency has already been decided on Park Avenue. But America needs a show. So who better to entertain them than the Bunny Ranch? If you want a show, we'll give it to you. We're in. Let's play. You know, and if it just raises political awareness a little bit, if it gets people talking about the issues, then that's a bigger bonus.
What about the issue of decriminalizing or legalizing sex work United States wide, like, or, you know, something around that? Like, would you get behind that?
I see it coming. You know, during my career, I would say yes for the sake of the women. I would say no because it would drive my prices down because of supply and demand.
Yeah.
But honestly, I think it's a no-brainer. The legalizing pot. I see it coming. I see it coming in California.
It seems to make a lot of sense. And, like, it's obviously something that people are – from what I personally have read, the people who are sort of opposed to it don't tend to understand the difference between trafficking and then, like, uncoerced sex work. And I think that they're missing the idea that if it's legalized, then it's more likely that we'll be able to find people who are being trafficked and that we'll be able to do something about that, because it's not going to be dangerous for sex workers to report to the police or, you know, those sort of things.
Right. So many people have their blinders on. It's a moral issue. Any other way that you look at it, it makes 100% perfect sense for the safety of both the client and the provider and the community. But then these people with their moral blinders on, you go to TMZ and look at those comments. The comments, they take shots at us like you wouldn't even believe. Mm-hmm. And it's just, they're uninformed. And as much as we are on TV and in radio, and we try and inform the public that this is a good, clean, safe working environment, the girls are tested, the girls are safe. We have a lot of girls that they don't post their pictures. Why? Because they escape the pimp.
Mm.
Now, the only other option that we pretty much have in America is to put the girl in jail. She's being sex trafficked, and the only way to really protect her is to put her in jail. You can't put her in a home. She's going to run away. She's street smart. She's used to making money. and she's brainwashed by this pimp. And the brainwash, people don't understand how strong a hold that is to be brainwashed by someone. And that's why I think all it is brainwash and codependency. And pimps know how to pick, you know, if a teenage girl runs away from home within 48 hours, the chances are, well, 1 out of 3 will be picked up by a pimp.
And it's sort of like the combination of like an abusive relationship and also like a cult. And then they're using all of that sex negativism, all the comments that, you know, are negative and mean and nasty and stuff on all of these posts. They're coming from a place of sex negativism. They've just been told their whole lives that sex is bad and that women who like it are bad and that it somehow like defiles bodies and it makes people somehow worse, like, which is like not physically demonstrable in any way. It's just like a thing that they just ascribe to it. And they've been told that their whole lives by all these institutions of power that stay in power by convincing people that they're bad and convincing people that they can't be free, you know, on their own.
Isn't that the craziest? Like, I mean, people don't come down on religion, but they come down on brothels. It's like, at least we're selling something you can actually touch.
Yeah, we actually have proof. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
In most cases, you can even take it home with you.
Yeah.
So it's just a moral issue. And I think that they might come around to it. I'll see it in my lifetime.
You're very optimistic. I'm really enthused by that. I'm not sure that I'm that optimistic. Although, like, the trajectory of, for instance, like, marriage equality has been way faster than anything I would have expected. But, like, still, I don't know if I'm as hopeful as you are, just because, like, I'm from the Midwest.
I think I'm going to start lobbying.
Yeah?
So I'm very hopeful. Yeah. I'm really for the ingrained in the plight of runaways. I was a teenage runaway, so I lived it. I did it, and I know where her head is at, and why the things, the options that she has available for her. I'm talking a teenage runaway that's been caught up in sex trafficking, and why her options are so limited. Why she believes her options are so limited. So, what's so bad about giving her the option at the age of 18 of working at a brothel, so she can make lots of money, she can become independent, she has a support system of women, she has a support system of people. We have a sales meeting on Thursdays, and the other houses have them on different days. And we have our own little black books of people, I mean, because of accountants and attorneys and, of course, plastic surgery and beauty supplies, but mostly investing, accounting and incorporating and things of that nature. And you have this, like I said, it's a little black book of people that work with us, because I know that I had to walk through that myself to get these different professional services without getting ripped off. It's kind of doing business with a prostitute. I think a lot of people think I'm on the same plane as like a drug dealer. It's okay to rip me off because she's going to make a lot more money, and it's easy money, and it's not good money anyhow. And a lot of people think that way, and I've been treated that way. I've been, you know, prejudiced against a lot in my life. So if the girl were to be able to get off the street, get into a brothel, get her shit together, make a little money, decide what she wants to do, Within 6 months to a year, there isn't any girl that really had her mind, her head screwed on straight, that couldn't get out with some type of franchise business.
Yeah, that's a really good
point. My head isn't screwed on straight. I never claimed that.
Well, I think it's really comparable to, like, modeling, because, like, it's one of those things where people go into it very often young, too young to really be able to understand it from a business perspective. But if you have like a little bit of acumen, and if you have a little bit of ambition, you can translate it into like a real career versus like getting caught up and chewed up and spit out, because it definitely has both possibilities.
And I'm a little hanger on because I've been chewed up, but and sit out and then pick myself back up. And I'm lucky enough to be able to pick myself back up again and give it another shot. And so the road's been a little bit bumpy for me, and I had my own decisions. And I'm not sad that I made any of those decisions. I had drug and alcohol problems and then all these problems. But I think there all these life experiences just allow me to relate to more people.
Yeah.
And so I'm really happy for all of my experiences.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, because...
Speaking of which, I have a sponsee, and I'm getting ready to go to one of my meetings in about 15 minutes.
Oh, right on. So for the folks who want to learn more about you, they want to find out more about either your work at the Bunny Ranch, or they want to find out more about your academic stuff and your website and all those sort of things, where can we direct people?
My website is airforceamy.com, AIRFORCEAMY.com. And I just got my red, white, and blue background put up today. So it looks really cool. I'm really happy with it. It's brand new red, white, and blue today for our Democratic season. And also bunnyranch.com. You can see hundreds of ladies and email ladies. You can contact and inbox to the ladies. And my Twitter is Air Force Amy. And forget about Facebook. I have about 8 deactivated accounts because they want me to upload a driver's license, and I'm not doing that.
They want you to upload a driver's license?
Yeah, because my name doesn't look real.
Oh.
Even though all these porn stars and strippers have, stripper names, they're like Nikki Steele or Portia. Yeah, they get away with it. But Air Force Amy, they just are not letting me fly.
That whole thing is so frustrating. They've been doing that to drag queens and like all these people, and it's like, yo, but that's my name, like, you know, for the purposes of everybody.
You know, so I think that's a moral issue with those guys too, because it's just, the IRS doesn't even have a copy of my driver's license. I'll be damned if you're getting one.
I mean, yeah, it's like,
and I have family. Like, I have a brother that's a very accomplished writer. His wife writes children's textbooks. They travel all over the world. I can't associate my last name with that.
Yeah.
I can't, I mean, I just can't. And I have family back in Ohio. They're already mad at me,
Well, and I mean, they're really encouraging. Like, what Facebook's policies are doing is actually very much encouraging that sort of, negative association, because there should not be, a stigma. Because that's just
dangerous. Every time I deactivate an account, I say I don't feel safe. I can't, there's a lot of crazy people out there. They Google my name, they search me out, they find my house, and you don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, Facebook is not actually really,
I wouldn't suggest anybody do that, because I really was in the Air Force, and I know how to handle a lot of weapons that I have in my house.
That's pretty badass.
Yes.
That's
really wrong that they're doing that. So,
yeah, Facebook is not really doing anything to protect people. They're saying it's to protect people from bullying, but that's not true.
Yeah, if the thing was, if they were finding missing and exploited children, I would give you every piece of identification I have.
Yeah.
But you want that information to out me, and you want that information to get to the FBI, and you want that information to sell.
Advertisers. Advertisers want that information. They want to make
finding missing,
money.
Like I said, if you were doing something good with that information and actually finding children, I would give you every piece of information, that every document I have. But I don't see them doing that.
I could go on and on and on about Facebook.
If they're listening, they should come up with some kind of spin doctor campaign that they're finding children, and then I will give them my information.
If Facebook's listening to this, I have a lot of thoughts for them. Not the least of which is fuck you and your anti-nipple stuff.
I call them ass books.
They'll deactivate an account that's that has a ton of fans, and somebody's got a bunch of friends because of a nipple. They will do that. They will shut it down because of a nipple, which is a naturally occurring body part. But they won't do it to every nipple, only to women's nipples, because women's nipples are bad because they are on women, and women's bodies are bad.
Right.
So Facebook, you fucking suck it.
Right. That's
yet I need them.
Yeah.
Yet I need them. Ugh.
Yeah.
Bastards.
Yeah. We can go on about them for a while. But you know what? I tricked them a couple weeks ago. I put up an Amy Hoff account and got friends. A man, and I put up an ad, and I just got a boatload. I mean, a boatload of emails. I think I'll just keep putting up fake accounts, get my emails, extract the good ones. So, anyhow.
I like it.
I'm getting ready to start. My YouTube channel is up. And I just put together a studio in my house, and I shoot my first show, an update on Hillary Clinton campaign and also sex tips with Air Force Amy. I'm shooting my first show tomorrow morning at 10 a.m.
Whoa.
My first show.
Wow. That's fun.
I look forward to that. I look for Air Force Amy. And actually, one of my news channels is called WTF News. What the fuck news is Air Force Amy? What the fuck?
Yeah. I like it. Cool. So everybody should go check out all those things, and if they're ever in the Nevada area or in the market, to fly to Nevada for a day or something.
I'm looking at doing a call to action and keep checking on my website and my social media, you guys, because I'm going to be starting to run the book a reservation and make a deposit within 72 hours, and I'll grab your airfare, your ground transportation, your lodging.
Wow.
Your food and drink. Yeah.
Wow.
So watch for it, guys. It's coming.
That's a hella good deal.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. All right. Well, I want to thank you so much for finding time for us. Thank you so much for coming on, and everybody go check out.
Are you going to the AFEC convention up in Minneapolis in June?
I am not. I am a fan of the conferences. They've always been very fun. They're a great place to go party, and like obviously a good time in terms of like, you know, the workshops and the sort of things are always really helpful. However, can only budget for so many conferences a year, so I have decided I am only going to go to ones where I'm presenting. And so I'm actually running a conference that's here in Philadelphia in May, and like that's sort of consuming my life right now.
Okay, well, I'll be on the lookout for that. I'll watch the updates on that. Awesome.
May 7th through 10th in Philadelphia is the SexX conference. If you are at all interested.
No way.
I'm completely serious. I'm going to talk to you off the air about this also, but like, yeah.
Okay.
May 7th through 10th, it is going to be a ridiculously good time. Yeah, you should totally come.
I wish I could. I have a client I'm booking from May 1st through May 7th. I could. Technically,
well, you can come when you're done. The first day is only just a party.
I think Dr. Ted is coming out the following week to shoot some stuff and set up our library and our museum.
All right. Well, we'll discuss it. We'll figure it out. We'll figure some out. We're gonna get you out here one way or another.
Cool.
All right. Cool.
All right, let's sign off.
Yeah. Thank you so much, and thank you everyone for listening. And have a fantastic day. Thank you for listening to Sex with Timmery. Please check out more from sexwithtimmery.com, where Monday through Friday there's new content, including polls, weekly sex columns, and Friday sex links. And if you have any questions, comments, or violent reactions, please email them to sexwithtimmery@gmail.com. That's sexwithtimare@gmail.com. And thank you.